Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time
world champion.
Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The no-gold system.
The world is listening.
The following is a part of the Unchained Wrestling Network, the SNS Radio Network, and KJCC Real Campus Radio.
I'm back, baby.
The Unchained Wrestling Network and KJCC Real Campus Radio presents the two-time Wrestling Radio Award winner, Running the Ropes.
I lost a broski for a hoski.
Step through the ropes as the guys bring you all the talk happening within the WWE.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
TNA.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Ring of Honor.
Dig down in your bunkers and dig into those trenches and get ready. Get ready for shock and awe.
And the NorCal Independence. And now live from the KJCC studio in San Jose, California, it's Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network, the SNS Radio Network, and KJCC Real Campus Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Brian Maverick Bertrand here. Welcome to Running the Ropes, the only wrestling radio podcast and live show in the immediate San Francisco Bay Area. My name is Brian Maverick Bertrand. Chris Kelly is supposed to be on, but I can't get him on the Skype line at the moment. He is super busy, I'm sure, because the day is vastly approaching for him for TNA lockdown in Texas. So I can't seem to get him on Skype, but either way, we have a lot. I might make it even an intern show today. Have the interns come in. They're not you know, big wrestling fans, but they know. I'm sure they heard some names before. I mean, you know, Donald Trump going in the Hall of Fame, Hulk Hogan being old man Hogan again, and the like. So. Definitely something to look forward to in terms of the show this week. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to pull up the news right now from headlocksandheadlines.com. In the meantime, I just want you guys to know we called. You know what? Last night we had a great time. I had a interview, or not interview, but we did a tour at KLIV yesterday, one of the biggest and one of the last independently owned radio stations in the Bay Area. Very good station and just all around fun to date. Can you guys answer this phone for me? I can't answer it right now because I'm talking and I just started this show. I had some time to check things out and so there you go. Let's get into it. I pull up some news here. Let's get to it. News of the week.
And now it's time for the news of the week, brought to you by Chris Kelly and headlocksandheadlines.com.
All right, the first story here. According to PW Insider, The Undertaker's television return is imminent and could take place as soon as next Monday's Old School Raw. The long-term rumored Undertaker vs. CM Punk match at WrestleMania will in fact be taking place. Spoiler alert. The match was confirmed about a week ago when The Undertaker told WWE he'll be physically ready to compete on April 7th. Now, WWE creative team is rushing to fast-track the feud with just over 5 weeks until the pay-per-view. One big issue with the Punk match against The Undertaker is that he's now lost three consecutive high-profile matches against The Rock at Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber and against John Cena on last Monday's Raw, which we will get to in a minute. We'll get to later on in the show. Punk remains one of the top draws, but there's concern that another big loss could affect his perception with the fans. So, that makes total sense. I mean, CM Punk, he's the best in the world. If he's going to be the best in the world, he needs to have wins, especially the big name wins, okay? I just don't understand why they make him lose these matches. I think it's a matter of CM Punk is caught in the middle of the feud between Rock and Cena. That's why they're making him lose. That's the crappy thing about making him lose. So, anyway, next story on the card, let's move on. There's plans to have 1 to 2 more inductees in the 2013 WWE Hall of Fame class. Ivan Koloff and Kamala's names have been discussed. Oh, I hope Kamala's in there. He deserves it. The company has reached out to at least Kamala about being inducted. I can see him saying yes. Bruno Sammartino's induction will headline the ceremony, of course. The company hopes to have Arnold Schwarzenegger induct him, something Bruno intends to talk to Arnold about when he's inducted in the International Sports Hall of Fame during the Arnold Classic. In regards to other scheduled inductees, it's expected that Terry Funk and or Jim Ross, possibly both, may induct Mick Foley. The company is considering Maria Menounos or Bob Backlund, don't understand why, as the two are friends and obviously WWE would love to for the celebrity rub. Sergeant Slaughter's name has also been brought up for Backlund, as has, interestingly enough, Rowdy Roddy Piper. In speaking around those in the ceremony, it's believed that Donald Trump would be most likely be inducted by another member of his family, possibly his daughter, Ivanka Trump. No word on Trish Stratus' inductor yet, though Lita and or Dave Finley wouldn't make the most sense. They could go with Edge, as they are both from Toronto and were trained by Ron Hutchinson at the same school. Good for her. Good for her. Anthony Farley says in chat, predicting that Stratus and Backlund will be among those who will be the ones that won't be shown on TV. I wholeheartedly agree. Next story on the card here. Next story on the ballot. Probably the final story this time. I'm trying to find non-spoiler alerts. Montel Vontavious Porter, a.k.a. MVP, tweeted the following. I'd like to thank New Japan for allowing me to realize a dream. I love, in capital letters, Japan, and will forever be grateful. I left on good terms, as always. He also tweeted, quote, I will return to wrestling eventually. The door is open for a return to WWE, NJPW, and even TNA. However, my focus now is developing on my TV show. Good for him. You know what? MVP is a very good talent. MVP, just really cool. Really cool on Twitter. He loves Japan. He loves it. I can't wait to see him do more with it very soon. So, anyway, one more thing I want to mention. Vince McMahon reportedly blew a gasket backstage at Raw last night, Raw on Monday, during the CM Punk John Cena event. Word is that Vince was upset when Punk hit Cena with a pile driver, which is a banned move when done the way Punk did it. Vince was upset with Cena and Punk, but because it was them, there will likely be no serious punishment. So there you go. That was your news of the week, brought to you by headlocks2headlines.com, the official news source of Running the Ropes. And just, you know, give Crowley some credit. You know, he may be the effing foreign kid, but at least he's got a good news website. Although that and $5 gets you a Starbucks coffee. So there you go. There we go. Okay, let's get into it. I had a problem. I had a major problem this past week. I don't normally go off on serious. Well, okay, so I do seriously go off on rants like this every week, but this one really took the cake. And reason being because it gives a kind of a bad taste when someone who claims to be a political analyst, goes off and trashes something A, he knows nothing about, I want to be consistent with my numbers and letters here, that we have, or that he, you know, has the stones to come up and talking all this stuff. Yes, Press, I kind of consistent, not completely consistent, just kind of. Anyway, I want to play you a clip now of Glenn Beck. I'm not going to play the whole clip because it's 13 and a half minutes long, but here's Glenn Beck trashing. Let me mute this radio thing here playing the music. So there we go. Let me play this clip.
At this point, has me rooting for the WWF, and I hate the World Wildlife Foundation or Federation or whatever the hell it is. They hate the panda people here, and it's hard to hate panda people, isn't it?
Well,
not
no,
in this case,
not,
no.
Not in this case.
No. The WWE now has put a new character out that is demonizing the Tea Party. You know, Linda McMahon, you didn't win. We should have seen how your true colors early on. And I think we did. Didn't we worry about Linda McMahon? Because she's one of these, oh my gosh, did I almost say neocon? She's
the neocons. Neoconism. Practicing her neoconistic ways.
Yeah, she's just one of these progressive Republicans.
Not sure if it went out there.
Connecticut Republican.
Yeah, which is...
You're hearing static because of the computer.
Texas liberal. Probably better than the person they elected by 3 or 4%.
Right.
That's about it. Okay, so now... father.
My dad believed it was real.
Mm-hmm. And Pat used to argue with his father.
No. Okay, I'm not gonna play the rest of that. I thought it kind of dragged on more than I expected it to, but that's all right. Anyway, Glenn Beck, the disgraced, the guy who feels disgraced for being fired off of Fox News for his outlandish, super, super right wing views on the government. He compared Barack Obama with Nazis, with the Nazi Party. He called America the next Auschwitz. He basically trashed the current government because of the whole controversy that he's a birther. He wants Barack Obama's birth certificate. All that stuff. He goes on to trash Jack Swagger and his new manager, so to speak, Zeb Coulter. And Zeb Coulter, I like a lot because every time I see him on TV, I think of two things. One, I think about, you know, I think the super right wing birther crowd, they're the biggest, like Rush Limbaugh kind of thing. He yells at people. He thinks he's, you know, up there. But at the same time, he's a character. He's a wrestling character. Something Glenn Beck knows nothing about. And, but anyway, but he has the stones to go on and say this. But see, I don't take anything, no one nowadays, no actual wrestling fan that watches it takes anything seriously anymore on WWE TV because they're smart about it. But let me just admit, the other thing I think about with Uncle Zeb is simply South Park.
If you don't like America, why don't you get out?
Thank the Gurgub!
Thank the Gurgub!
Thank the
Gurgub!
I cannot think outside of that part. I absolutely love it. But Ashley puts in the chat, it's still real to me, damn it. Yeah. But no, like, the point is, if you're not gonna at least, you know, sit down and actually understand the situation in WWE to really bring this up, then why are you even bringing it up at all? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that Zeb Colter, yes, it's Dirty Dutch Mantel, I know exactly who he is, thank you very much. I mean, yeah, I agree with Farley. Someone used former two-time world champion duct tape to shut him up. To shut Glenn Beck up. And it, just the fact that, I mean, okay, First Amendment, awesome. I understand that. But the fact that he does not give the benefit of the doubt, does not suspend disbelief, does not get out of that moronic, super right-wing racist bubble that Glenn Beck has constantly been in for the last, what, 8 years? To get himself out of this hole he dug himself in since the White House actually called up Fox News telling them to shut Glenn Beck up for talking so much smack about the government like that, because of the fact that not only is it inciting riots, it's inciting illegal protests to the fact where Westboro Baptist Church is, you know, basically attacking people, basically. And the slander that he's putting out there, I mean, the White House, I mean, see, and, but what I love about it the most is that WWE, instead of suing Glenn Beck for slander and for libel or even plagiarism for using their clips on his show, they went and invited him on and said, you know what, instead of us, you know, just going about it the legal way, because I guarantee you we'll win, he's going to come in and say, you know what, how about this? We're gonna give you some time. We're going to give you this bit of time to debate this whole fact that according to you, we're, quote, demonizing the Tea Party. Demonizing the Red Wing Tea Party birther racist jackholes, you know? There's no reason for, you know, this hatred and disgust and all that. I mean, come on.
There's no crying in baseball!
You know, I just don't think that it should be there. But here's what I like about it. I like the fact that WWE and more power to it being WWE having the stones to put this one up. Oh.
Hey, Glenn Beck. What you just saw is what we call a promo. It's a scene we record to elicit a positive or negative reaction from our fans. See, we are entertainers.
My name is Jake Hager.
And I'm Wayne Cowan. We are performers for WWE. Zeb Colter is the character I play. Jack Swagger is the character Jake plays. We aren't in the political business or the immigration business. We are in the entertainment business. Everything we do as our characters is designed to tell stories. Right now, the story we're telling is that Zeb Colter and Jack Swagger are using the current, relevant, and topical story of immigration to target the WWE World Champion, Alberto Del Rio. Also a character...
And he's absolutely right. And he did it exactly the most professional way he can. And did it perfectly. The fact that he came on TV, or came on YouTube, and posted that up perfectly. was really the highlight of this whole controversy between WWE and Glenn Beck. That Dutch Mantel, Zeb Coulter, and Jack Swagger came up on publicly and released it for all the world to see. They said, you know what? Let me tell you what a promo is, for one. Promo, because, yeah, he's right. A promo is meant to either, you know, get people behind, get people for or against a wrestler. You're either going to make them cheer or you're going to piss them off. And a lot of people, even nowadays, which is funny, don't utilize the difference. They don't, I mean, just the fact that they don't, like I said, well, okay, they don't suspend disbelief. They don't, and guys like Glenn Beck are really what's wrong, I mean, are really, honestly, and everyone knows, and it's common knowledge amongst people my age, of course, that Glenn Beck is the one sole person, well, sole type of person that is wrong with this country. It's not about money. It's not about, sorry, one of the interns is doing stupid things right next to me. Hey, giggity. maybe lose my train of thought, damn it. It's the intern's fault. Anyway, no. Now I lost my total train of thought, you guys. Help me out here.
Well, you said money.
Okay. It's not about money. It's not about, you know, who's got this amount of money. It's not about who's got these connections. It's not about the full on, oh, I'm just better than you. No, it's about the either, actually, as my name says, correction, math, you either make them cheer or piss them off, or you're John Cena. That's good. But no, like, it's become a point where it's about just being an a-hole compared to being professional. Glenn Beck, not a professional. Glenn Beck is a racist. I will publicly come out and tell you myself that Glenn Beck is an all-out racist with a capital R, baby. Racist. Why? Because of the fact that he's willing to let people talk about other races, no problem. But if someone talks about him or his race or the Tea Party, oh, gloves are off. Gloves are completely gone. I mean, he will sit there and willingly call Barack Obama a Nazi. He'll compare Washington, D.C. to Auschwitz. He'll compare all these political problems. He was doing something behind the scenes to really get into the spirit of the election with Mitt Romney. And that now he just, I mean, honestly, and those people, especially the Tea Party, are definitely, just like Ashley says, racist with a capital R-A-C-I-S-T, man. Complete and total racist. And the intern looks goofy in these horrible sunglasses that he's wearing. Just distracting me because it's so goofy looking. What made you want to wear those?
Because they've been here for the past 2 weeks. He's been here for the past 2 weeks.
That's right.
Like, what? No one's come to claim them. So can I claim them? Can I have them?
Yeah, if you want to use them as a prop.
I think at this point they can be claimed. Well, hey, on the subject of Glenn Beck, how do you know that maybe he's not just acting? Maybe he's in the entertainment business too.
And dude, then he must be an Oscar-winning A-list actor because hey, if he's acting.
Be. Hey. You people have pulled off the greatest kind of.
Are you saying that Glenn Beck is too stupid to be real?
He must be. Come on. And what other explanation?
No one could be that stupid without a script. Is that what I'm hearing?
Who knows? Hey, Matt, think about it, though. Think about it. What if he's just in there?
Hashtag racist sunglasses. Trending worldwide.
He could be acting, too.
I, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, I don't want him to act.
No,
I really don't, yeah, because exactly. I feed off of his BS.
Exactly.
I'm a bottom feeder
maybe
like
he's
that.
Like, maybe he's like the anti-Colbert, where he's where he gives entertainment to morons.
Well, yeah, see, that works.
See? Think about it.
Thank the Gargoyle!
Thank the Gargoyle!
Thank the Gargoyle!
Exactly. Exactly, I agree. But I'm just saying that if he's acting, it's a damn good act. Because no one could be that stupid without a camera in front of their face. You notice that?
Exactly.
No one could be that stupid. Or ignorant. Or racist. Or ignorant. Or, oh wait, but then you have Rush Limbaugh. Oh.
Exactly.
That makes me a sad panda.
Just speaking of which, Ashley is my name, says in the chat, if Glenn Beck is an actor, does that make the Harlem Shake a greeting from the Middle Ages? Probably.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation with one of our hosts here on KJCC, D Money, you know. We and Caleb were sitting in the car last night, waiting for our rides home. And we were talking about how these dances, like the Harlem Shake, were just refreshments of old dances from back in the day. Like I said, I made the joke of
it's not though. It's all the Harlem Shake video is people being stupid.
See,
all it is.
But it's kind of D Money brought up a good point. All these dances that come out that become fads for a little while, they're sort of just like remakes of older dances. And I made the joke of
they're not even trying to be older dance remakes. It's smart people being stupid.
I know. Look,
for like 30 seconds. Can't people be stupid for 30 seconds?
Yeah, actually, we did a Harlem Shake thing here at KJCC. Yeah, that was just a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's completely just for 30 seconds.
I'm not saying that don't do it. I'm just saying he brought up a good point. Pretty soon I made the joke that we're going to be seeing a rehash of the Charleston from the 1920s.
I'm just doing Charleston right now, waving the arms.
See, pretty soon that's going to be a thing.
You know what? That's true. But, I mean, I'm just wondering. But I could see your point. I could see Ashley's point, you know. If it's that stupid, does it make it something into... Does it mean something else? Does it mean that? But I'm just saying that with the way Glenn Beck is going about this and really demonizing... And see, what WWE did... Oh, and they went from inviting him on to, and I don't know if you guys, because I know you guys don't watch wrestling normally. The interns are just so out of the loop. They don't watch wrestling, but they're willing to listen to me talk. Can you guys believe that in the chat room? Yeah. I can't. Anyway.
I can.
Anyway, WWE has sent Michael Cole and a camera crew over to Glenn Beck Studios. Raw was in Dallas. They weren't that far from the studio. So they go in and they try and get a word. But they end up getting kicked out anyway. But what's funny is that their security guard, who's probably been out of the loop anyway, said that he's filming his show. He's there filming his show. So they were going to go up to him and see, but they got stopped by the owner of the actual owner of the studio. See, it's not even Glenn Beck's studio, people. He's renting it. So his landlord came in and kicked out WWE. It wasn't Glenn Beck's people. It was the landlord.
The landlord.
That's what makes me funny. Acer says in the chat room, the KJCC intern should be quite proud of themselves right now.
I am proud of myself. We're proud, aren't we?
They're proud. Suppose. You know what, Acer? They're proud. They are proud. They're proud of sitting with me in my presence.
My knees
That's
hurt.
How
Can
proud.
I not sit on?
You have like two other chairs in this room, and you're sitting on your knees on the floor.
I'm suffering for the studio. That's how I pay my dues around here. Remember, we're still in the hazing.
Go get me some lunch.
I don't have money.
Yay for not being hazed over here.
How did you?
We were planning something for you, Jonathan, but yeah. We totally lost it. So anyway. But that's my whole rant. If you want to rant, we're going to open up the phones later in the show, so stay tuned for that. But right now, we got to cover some wrestling. I know, it sucks. I don't like covering
Raw anymore. But I'll say this. It's a fallout from a fallout. It's not a fallout.
It's a Fallout New Vegas.
No, it's not a fallout from a pay-per-view, but it was a build-up, and it hit some waves. So here we go. All right, WWE taking place over in Dallas, Texas, for February 25th, 2013. I'm checking out some stuff here. 41 days until WrestleMania 20. Can you guys believe it? WrestleMania is my holiday, my Christmas, my Super Bowl, my World Series. It's a culmination of big rivalries either starting or ending most in one night. It's going to be good, so check it out. Anyway, the Raw starts out with the fight between Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman. Of course, Vince McMahon comes out with his crutches because he broke his hip. My hip! Oh, my God! Breaking his hip and coming back in on crutches. And the intern just popped out a lens, and now he looks like a glamorous pirate. On the sunglasses. So there you go. Pirate sunglasses. Hashtag pirate sunglasses trending worldwide now. Anyway, Paul Heyman comes out to the entrance ramp interrupting. Vince McMahon calls out Paul Heyman. But Heyman comes out in his fighting gear, which Vince McMahon called Paul Heyman the, quote, ultimate fighter, which is funny. Heyman says something straight to his face. And then instead of just saying something to his face, he dives at Vince McMahon, spearing him down, grabbing a crutch and just slamming it onto the back of Vince McMahon. Heyman swings again, but Vince catches the crutch and swings away at him. Anyway, Brock Lesnar's music comes in and stares him down, but Triple H comes out and attacks Lesnar. Shortly later on, Triple H put in a tout message telling Brock Lesnar to bring it. Anyway, first match on the card, Ryback defeats Dolph Ziggler with AJ and Biggie Langston in Ziggler's corner via the shell shock. Decent opening match. Your average probably 5-10 minute match. So there you go. Next up, CM Punk is in the ring saying that he thought it was a night. He thought tonight is a night that the audience will tell their grandchildren about. Punk said that they're about to witness an epic match between John Cena and CM Punk. He argued that night that the night was not about John Cena, nor as much as they want it to be tonight. Tonight is about The Rock. The Rock, John Cena, or WrestleMania. That night was about CM Punk. That night is about the most significant superstar of this age and ages past. And just putting himself over, basically. Anyway, after that was a promo for Donald Trump in the celebrity wing of WWE's Hall of Fame, which is really cool because he deserves it. So, yeah. Anyway, Mark Henry once again wins in a jobber match over Great Khali in probably about a 5-minute match. This really needs to stop. I mean, it's like schoolyard bull. It's like a shorter bully going after the tall kid, the resident tall kid in the school. Oh, wow. I gotta slap my intern a little bit, so that'll come up during the break. Anyway, Miz is in the ring with Jack Swagger, Zeb Coulter, Alberto Del Rio, and Del Rio's henchman Ricardo Rodriguez, which I call him a henchman because Ricardo Rodriguez literally looks like one of the henchmen from James Bond movies. Really? Which one? I forget, but it's the one that Tattoo was in, like a taller version of Tattoo. I forget. Anyway, they just go over the fact that Zeb Coulter goes on a rant about becoming a citizen in this country, getting out of different just ways. Anyway, kneel them. Sorry, Acer puts in the chat. That's pretty good, Maverick. Kneel them, Maverick. Kneel them. They should kneel to me. Anyway, all this Miz TV was more of Zeb Coulter going off about immigration and becoming a Mexican citizen. So there you go. Anyway, after the match, Randy Orton defeats Antonio Cesaro, which I love Cesaro a lot, so I'm glad he's there. Sheamus talks about, after the match, Kane and Daniel Bryan are talking backstage about winning, that he said he could beat the primetime players blindfolded. Kane says he could beat them with one hand tied behind his back, and Vicky Rose said, "Prove it." Brad Maddox said, "Prove it." So there you go. Anyway, after that, Sheamus comes out to discuss the Oscars and talks about Wade Barrett. So that ends. R-Truth then goes on to defeat Cody Rhodes in a quick match. After that, Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger video on jobs. And that incites...
Link the Gurn Cubed!
There you go. So... there you go. Anyway... after that, the tag team match between Daniel Bryan and Kane versus the primetime players. Of course, Daniel Bryan was blindfolded, and Kane had one arm tied behind his back, which was really funny because Daniel Bryan and Kane did go on to beat the primetime players, one blindfolded and one with his arm tied behind his back, which is really funny. Great, great match to watch. Funny match to watch. Kind of like your funny moment of the night. Jack Swagger beats The Miz after the attack during Miz TV. Not surprised there. And then finally after that, John Cena goes on in a great match, by the way, surprisingly enough, to defeat CM Punk for the number one contendership. Now, cool that it's there. I'm glad. I personally like the fact that it's still going to be Cena Rock 2 because of the money factor. But at the same time, it goes on to what I said about what do you call it? It goes on to what I said about CM Punk before. Like, he needs to get some wins, especially high profile wins, because if he's best in the world, shouldn't he be winning? Shouldn't he be there? There he is. There's the intern. It's like, he just straight up disappeared on me all of a sudden. I didn't even hear the door open. So there you go. My thoughts on Raw. Pretty good. I'd give it a good B+. You know, good effort, good show. The thing with Cena and Rock, cool, you know. But if it was A+ and, you know, Glenn Beck grew a pair, you know, it would really be so helpful to get him on. I don't know. I just thought it would be cool. Anyway, that's going to do it for Raw this week. I'm still annoyed with Raw, but that's going to do it for that. Anyway, let's go ahead. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk Impact, give a preview on that. Going to talk about what we could possibly see on this week's Impact tonight. More on that, which Tony's going to talk about during TNA Chat Live later on the SNS Radio Network. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Yo, this is Hernando from TNA, and you're running the ropes on SNS Radio.
I have voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Matt Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Let's go to our ring announcer.
Wrestling fans, your ring announcer here, Sean Beckerman, and I'm proud to present to you the Pro Wrestling Nostalgia Podcast that's taking the IWC by storm beyond the bell. On each edition, we cover a different theme, taking you back in time to relive the greatest and worst in professional wrestling. We go behind the mic, where you will get backstage stories from the perspective of a pro wrestling ring announcer on the independent circuit. Find out what it was like to announce some of the greatest stars in pro wrestling history and the funny stories behind the scenes. And we wrap it all up with old school wrestling music. So tune in to Beyond the Bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, and I'll see you at the matches. It's go time!
The Brahma Bull. He's bold. He's bad. He's brazen. He's the Rock. He's coming to WWE Royal Rumble.
Finally!
Live only on pay-per-view. This Rumble is going to rock. The Brahma Bull. He's bold. He's bad. He's brazen. He's the Rock.
Sorry for the old commercial, guys.
And he's coming to WWE Royal Rumble.
Finally!
Live only on pay-per-view. This Rumble is going to rock.
Oh, you didn't know? You better call somebody!
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network, and if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you: suck it!
All right, welcome back to Running the Ropes, two-time Wrestling Radio Award winner of 2012. But not this year. I feel kind of bad about that. But I was glad to be a part of the Wrestling Radio Awards. But there you go. I want to introduce another new intern. You could probably blame things on him too, but I wouldn't want to do it to his face. For obvious reasons. But Caleb, Collab. One of the rising young stars here at KJCC, we just had a big thing, and you're a bit of a wrestling fan.
I'm a huge wrestling fan,
but you don't watch TNA.
I'm a WWE. I used to watch a lot of TNA. It's when I'm home. It's when I'm home. But when you watch,
you don't have
episode,
DVR. You don't.
Dog, I don't. But you think it? I'm a TNA fan. But the thing that really pisses me off about TNA is when I watch it, I don't know why I get this feeling that they're they're trying to copy the WWE because a lot of the WWE talent goes to TNA because of Vince McMahon.
So you say that just because they have former WWE guys, they're copying WWE?
It's just the way they're formatted. I really kind of feel like they're trying to relive the 90s era. And I can make arguments towards that. I mean, just as arguments against it, I really feel like they're trying to relive the Attitude Era. They've copied Axe, Aces and Eights. What does that remind you of? DX.
Wait. I'm stopping you right there.
It reminds me of DX.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. According to Collab, the Aces and Eights remind him of DX.
And NWO. And more so the NWO.
NWO more so, yeah. I can agree with that.
Another thing is I mean, they're getting a lot. I mean, their talent, they have great, excellent talent. I give TNA excellent talent. Matter of fact, if the TNA had the WWE publicity, I feel that the TNA will be, you know what I mean? Because don't get me wrong. But here's another, it's just, I really feel like it's just, if they got to get the writing. Because me, I'm a huge wrestling fan, but when I watch wrestling, I watch it for the soap opera. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We know the matches are predetermined. It takes a different type of animal, and I respect wrestlers to the utmost ability. But I watched it for, you know.
You're just more used to the way WWE handled things.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the PG era.
Yeah.
And I can agree with you on that.
My favorite wrestler is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There you go. So that makes sense. Do you have WWE 14, by the way?
WWE 14.
Or 13.
13, no, but I have played it. It's freaking awesome.
Get it for Xbox? Get it and start making your own arenas. It's fun. It's very fun.
My boy created he actually created the old WWF arena. I'm talking about when the Undertaker first came out with the padding and stuff.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember if he got
the old school Raw set with the video wall.
Yep, and the cool part about it was he recreated the war, so we had the WCW, NWO,
nice.
WCW, NWO, and then there's just a big old WWE thing in the middle.
Actually found both WCW Monday Nitro, perfect, and WCW Thunder, complete with the crosshair logo in the middle of the ring.
You know,
it's cool. Anyway, let's go ahead and just get into this. But you're right. Aces and Eights remind you of the NWO a lot.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
How about remember what's that group? Robert Roode, AJ Styles.
Oh, Fortune.
Fortune. What does this remind you of?
No, dude, they knew that was a four horseman, but then they went and did that and made it kind of gangster that.
I'm just gonna put in one finger and stick the other finger out, and it's something new. It's like, come on.
But what's funny about it is that it looks like they're separating one person now.
Eventually they did when Kazarian screwed AJ Styles. I never actually seen how that ended up. What was the whole contract BS about?
You know, I'm not sure. They didn't really bring that up very much, I don't think.
Because I remember how AJ Styles, you had to wrestle him, something he had to do with his wife, because Aaron screwed him over, and they were best friends, all the yada, 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 BS and nonsense.
Yeah, it was dumb. But I can agree with you, but I think that, but in terms of Aces and Eights, yeah, you're right. They have an NWO feel, but they're not, it's too repetitive. It's too,
right. It's
too much beat them down.
Right.
Instead of dragging it out, instead of making your promos, instead of doing all this, you have a stripper.
I don't like the Shield, but I respect the way the WWE introduced the Shield.
Yeah, and the Shield's kind of in the same boat, but at the same
time...
They
remind me of DX a little bit, though, I'm not going to lie. Because it's the Renegade, the
when
Nexus,
it started.
You know what I mean? It's like we're... But what surprised me is
how many... say the Shield reminds him of DX, too, so...
It's just that Renegade thing, but what surprised me is they keep on winning their pay-per-view matches.
Right, but see, what's cool about the Shield is that, you know what, I can see the connection with DX when they first started, but when DX first started, they were joking around, they were beating people to get themselves over, because Triple H was basically going after people to put Shawn Michaels over, and vice versa.
Right.
You know, so, and it eventually got Shawn Michaels the WWF title. And back in that day. So
the only man to screw Bret Hart. Just keep going.
And you trust me, once you play Attitude Era on WWE 13, you'll remember all this stuff pretty quick. But it's just that it's just the fact that Aces and Eights is too repetitive. It's still it's only you know beat the guy down.
They've always been that way. Remember when Sting came back and then they had right. But if they're gonna make a Jerry, if they're gonna make a beat the crap out of Sting every time he won a match,
right?
And it's always been that way. When Abyss Sting when Christian Cage versus Abyss. The only thing that was good about that is when they went into Christian Cage's house and beat the crap out of him and disrespected his wife and everything.
And then the actual match later, they said the crowd chanted "Fire Russo" because it was a horrible spot at the end.
Yeah, and it's like come on.
Oh yeah, I remember that match.
I mean, and like
that was the only casket match in TNA.
Yeah.
So,
and that's another thing. It's like I give them this much. I haven't seen it again. They had a match. It's like their version of the Elimination Chamber, which Hell in a Cell, which I never saw it. But it's like a big dome, and it's like a little tiny hole at the top. It's like how the f do you get out of that?
That's why it's the escape match. But no. But back to what we were talking about. For Aces and Eights, I could see it. And what happened now was that they went in the back and basically destroyed Hulk Hogan in the back, and they're basically holding Brooke Hogan hostage, because now I don't know how up to date you are, but Bully Ray married Brooke Hogan, and
like seriously, I mean like no.
I love the
reaction.
What does
this freaking remind you of? What big marriage, you know, happened in the WWE where a superstar, you know, married the big head guy's daughter? And well, I don't know. Does it ring a bell?
Right, but
does it ring a bell?
No. It does. It does. But see, you're doing it like it's the first time. Man. you're saying it like it's the first time TNA's done. TNA has held previous.
I'm not talking about weddings. I understand they've had weddings. I mean, they married Karen and Jeff Jarrett, which was stupid. I don't know why they brought Karen Angle's wife into it.
They're actually married in real life now.
Yeah, and that's the thing with wrestling. A lot of people don't know some of the drama actually goes on. Like the Matt Hardy Lita issue with Edge,
mm-hmm.
That was actually really going on. Edge Lita was cheating on Matt Hardy in real life with Edge, and Vince McMahon said, you know, brought it into the thing, and that's why. And they actually went too far in a couple of their matches. Like, you know, that one match when Matt Hardy was dripping blood, and you know, that wasn't supposed to happen. When Matt Hardy jumped off that fifth, like the stair that was like supposed to be like 10 feet too higher,
right?
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Well, see what I love about the former WWE guys is that they're finding inspiration in TNA, mm-hmm. But at the same time with TNA, they don't have
the originality.
They don't have the originality. They don't have the big thing about it. And tonight, I mean, we could see it more. I mean, Taz is on their commentary now. He's supposed to be a member of the Aces and Eights now, but. I watched it last week.
Taz comes back to the WWE. I'm sorry.
The only question I found out, I asked myself about Taz was, isn't he supposed to be a color heel, like a heel color commentator, like Jerry Lawler used to be, and Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Jesse Ventura? Wait,
Jerry Lawler isn't a heel. Jerry Lawler.
No, he used to be. When he first started in WWE, he was a big heel guy.
Well, then they did. You know what? They did that with I like how the WWE did that with Michael Cole, but I don't know why they did it, because Michael Cole has always been the neutral guy. He was always the neutral guy, and then he had the heel.
I love how I'm inciting a cyber fight between Ashley and Anthony, by the way. And I love it that Ashley, who's like in Krelly's neck of the woods, is just...
What happened to Ashley? From WWE, Ashley, right?
No. It's a guy. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, he's supposed to be the heel color guy, but he's a member of the Aces and Eights. But last week on Impact, Samoa Joe had a match with Garrett Bischoff, Eric Bischoff's son.
Uh-huh.
But Taz, instead of putting Garrett over, he put Joe over a lot, and he was really into it. But see, I just don't understand that. I mean, the fact that he's supposed to be putting over the bad guy, he's supposed to be throwing himself at the throngs of the bad guy, the heel.
You gotta watch this week.
This week's gonna be, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. But at the same time, I'm still not liking the fact that Bully Ray is number one contender. Because, one, I mean, he didn't wrestle last week at all. He was on the sidelines during this whole thing while Brutus, Brutus Magnus.
And how many times have you seen that in the WWE?
But see, it was always the heel that was given that spot. It was never a face. Not so much until it was actually...
When did Bully Ray become a face? When did Bully Ray become a baby face? No, never. he's never been a baby face in his whole career, and they're going to make him a baby face now? He wasn't a baby face with WCW. He wasn't a baby face with WWF.
He was never in WCW!
Dudley Boys weren't in WCW.
They won the WCW tag team titles during the invasion angle.
I consider that part of the WCW.
Oh my god!
I consider it.
That's
like when the NWO championship came to TNA. I consider it a piece of NWA's history. I consider it. I mean, it's like if I go
the only former champion in WWE right now that's considered a true WCW champion was the Big Show, because he won the title in 1994.
And not Booker T?
Booker T does, because he did actually have it 5 times. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and I just feel bad for him for defending it on Raw. Like, how the hell do you defend the WCW title on Raw?
It was part of the invasion era.
And then it was part of
the Civil War.
No, you're right.
It was part of
Civil
the war.
Civil War, he says.
I call it, okay, I take that back. It was part of the war. It was the war that they're going to have again.
But no.
I guarantee you, mark my word, I have to go. I'm going to say 2 things. I want to let the audience know what I told you earlier when I came in behind during the commercial.
Sure.
I want to let you know that I guarantee it, with the amount of lawsuits going between the WWE and TNA right now, and the amount of controversy both sides are trying to put up, I guarantee you this, in the next 5 years, there will be another war.
Maybe.
5 years. 5 years. I'm not, not next week, but 5 years.
Are you saying that WWE is going to buy out TNA in 5 years? Are you making that prediction right now?
I'm going to make that prediction, but it'll help. But the fact wars boost both companies' ratings, it sets the market for other wrestling companies. Well, there's only one other company right now that it won't be a monopoly because of Ring of Honor. And WWE started promo companies up before. So.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that. I mean, if it's anyone that could do it, it's going to be Vince McMahon.
Last thing, I just want to let you guys know. What was that? I was telling you.
Promote your show.
In the break. Okay, yeah. My show comes on, Brian. You're welcome to come by. I play hip hop. I still don't know the name of the show, but Sports Entertainment Scoops. Oh yeah, right. Hulk Hogan is a possibility he can come back to the WWE and get this.
No. We already did News of the Week. Promote your show.
Come on. All right. How about this? You let them know next week.
Let them know next week.
Let them know next week.
If it's relevant enough, I'll go ahead and let them know for sure.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I know the one you're talking about.
All right.
I'm gonna put it up there for next week if there's any updates to it.
Can I give you this? I'm gonna let you know my source, Sports Entertainment Scoops. Just so you know.
SEScoops.com.
SEScoops.com. Yeah. Did you see the new WWE belt?
Yes, I did.
It's so ugly. I hate it.
It doesn't look like a championship belt, but there you go. Anyway. Ashley is my name. He's a host on the SNS Radio Network, says, Civil War, where did Vince McMahon play Abraham Lincoln?
Is he making fun of me, Ashley?
Yes, he's making
fun of me. Making fun of me, Ashley? yeah. Same guy named after a diva.
Oh, wow.
Peep that. And did she ever win a championship?
Wow. All right, Collab, thank you. You can listen to Collab on what, Mondays?
Wednesdays
at 4:37 right here on KJCC Real Campus Radio. Ashley then says, quote, before you leave, Hulk Hogan and relevant. There's two words that don't go together.
How about Hulk Hogan and WrestleMania matches? Yes, I went there.
There you go. Thank you, Caleb.
WrestleMania matches that you don't see coming.
Yeah.
Yes, I went there, Ashley.
Thank you. Definitely. So check that out. You're on KJCC. Go to practice. God. You're supposed to be on a football team, for God's sakes. You're supposed to be giving our football team wins. Anyway. So check that out. Anyway, that was Caleb. That was an interesting segment that came out of nowhere. But yeah, back to what we were talking about. TNA. Okay, I like TNA. last week, I mean, it was an okay show, but there you go. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. You can hit me up on Skype. I'll put the Skype name in the chat right now. I'll put the Skype name in the chat because I know that the fans need to know how to get in contact with me. Of course, you could always call me up on the phone. Area code 408-293-0870. Once again, area code 408-293-0870. A great time to call in. We'll put you right on the air because I love you people. You people are awesome. So, once again, 408-293-0870. call either one of those, Skype or the phone number, because I want to know what you think. I mean, I don't like the fact that Samoa Joe got put up. I don't like the fact that Taz is putting over the baby faces when he's supposed to be putting over the heels. That's his job as a heel commentator. So, there you go. Anyway, we do have a caller. Caller? No, we don't have a caller. Might want to try again there, buddy. But yeah, like, I just don't... The fact that it's not... He's not doing his job. But anyway, but what was... I mean, and then Bully Ray. He was supposed to be injured. He's supposed to be doing that. Sorry for the dead air right there. He's supposed to be on injured reserve, but he wrestled last week in a six-man tournament. It was just really bad to me. I did not think it was gonna work out, but I don't know. Anyway, we have a caller. Caller, who's this?
Yeah, this is Cooter.
Cooter?
Yeah. I heard this Glenn Beck saying that wrestling fans are not a tit. Not dumb. Anyone tell them they're wrong?
The
Okay, that's enough. That hurts doing that.
That hurts your brain a little bit?
Just shaking my head. I hear a rattle, so it's not really new.
Oh, okay. All right. It's the sign that says for sale that kind of got out of the foundation. You know what I mean? when you're shaking your head like that, it happens.
You were talking about the Undertaker and CM Punk thing at Mania and how it might hurt Punk losing three times in a row at a pay-per-view.
Yeah, but I was more talking about this.
If you don't like America, why don't you get out?
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I gotta say, if a Punk loses, it probably won't hurt him as much as people say it is, because look how Cena had his year last year, his record. It wasn't that great. He lost like a couple pay-per-views in a row.
Cena didn't win a match in 2012.
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Let's see, Extreme Rules against Lesnar.
I was going to say Lashley. Wait a minute here.
He did beat Lashley, but not in 2012.
He wishes.
But I agree, they can probably do the whole feud with Punk and Taker. If they do it right, it can have, like, since it's old school Raw this week, have Punk just come out and just start bad-mouthing all these legends and all that. And he goes like, none of them can challenge me, and then out of nowhere comes the Undertaker.
Yeah. But at the same time, it kind of looks down on him, on Punk now, because of the fact that he hasn't won any pay-per-view matches in the last three pay-per-view matches. And now it seems to look like he's not the best in the world anymore. He's not the, he's not proverbially the best in the world anymore, and it's just not working out for him. And that's what really, you know, hurts me with CM Punk. I mean, he's supposed to have this great power. He's very talented. One of the most talented wrestlers. Well, I mean, they're all talented, but one of the most publicly talented wrestlers in the business. And he's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of what he can do and what he knows and what he's interested in. He's the only guy in WWE literally that has been on Talking Dead without WWE promotion. He's been on, like, all these other stuff, but yeah, at the same time, he hasn't won a match in a while.
Yeah, but Punk's also one of those guys who will say or do something and worry about the consequences later.
Exactly.
Case in point, the pile driver.
Exactly. So that's why I'm pretty damn sure that nothing's going to happen to Punk, even though, you know, Vince is kind of mad about that, which I can understand. I mean, look how many people that Vince has lost because someone used a pile driver and broke their necks.
Yeah, Austin for one.
Austin's a perfect example. But, I mean, I'm just looking at it from a point of view where it's not, when you think about it, it's not entirely bad as opposed to reckless. I mean, yeah, you could do a lot with it, but when you have a great match, you kind of have to pull out all the stops. And it was probably an ad-lib thing to even give Cena a pile driver. It probably wasn't intentional at first, not discussed, but Cena did a great job by taking it and not worrying about being hurt, because he knew what was going on.
In my opinion, that match last night on Raw was like probably how Savage and Steamboat were in Mania.
Yes.
Slow down to where they started doing moves you don't really see, and they picked it up.
They went back to the basics, basically, and that was what was really fun about it. And I love the point where they were exchanging submission holds. They went from STF to Anaconda Vice to STF to Anaconda Vice and really made it transitional to look and go on about it.
Yeah, and fans still griping against Cena doing the Hurricanrana. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest, but dear Lord.
I was worried about Cena at that point. To be honest, I really was. He's too tall to be doing a Hurricanrana for one, and CM Punk is too short to be taking a Hurricanrana for two.
We see Scott Steiner still do it from the top rope.
Scott Steiner's doing it from the top rope, not from the ground level.
Yeah, it's also Scott Steiner and all the drugs he's put into his body. Who knows what he'll think?
He just has the thighs of a car. He has thighs the size of a Studebaker. If I could pull out an old car reference.
And one guy complaining about comparing Aces and Eights to DX. What the heck was he thinking? What was he thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said he's a wrestling fan. He just watches WWE. That's like saying, oh, I love women, but you marry the first woman you ever had, you know.
I love women, but I don't like Asian women.
Good
Lord. Wow. Oh, man.
Going back to the previous comments about Glenn Beck, I mean, what the hell? I mean, he's like narrow-minded and all that.
He's racist.
There's two things I don't like. People who don't appreciate and respect other religions, races, and creeds, and the Dutch.
And the Dutch.
No, bad joke there.
No, I understood it. But, I mean, what I love about it is that, yes, okay, the Zeb Coulter character is demonizing the Tea Party, according to Glenn Beck. That part's true. However, WWE is at a point where they know it's not, you know, true. They're doing it because it's a cartoon. WWE went from action movie to cartoon. And yeah. They've been bringing out stereotypes like that for years. Oh, for many years. Look at Sergeant Slaughter when during the Gulf War he defected to Iran.
Yeah, and also
for WrestleMania 7.
The Bret Hart Foundation when they were against America.
There's that. There's also in WCW with Team Canada, and coming into WWE with the Un-Americans with William Regal, Chris Jericho, and Christian. You know that whole stable. I mean, what's funny is that Glenn Beck is going about it like it's the first time that's ever happened, and of course he doesn't watch it. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't find it entertaining, so he immediately, you know, attacks it. Whenever it's a political storyline, Glenn Beck has to call out on it. Let alone Colin Cowherd, who's a jerkhole, by the way, you know, in terms of when it comes to Eddie Guerrero's death, just really not setting a good example for other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. And you're going to try to be watching the ROH pay-per-view this month or this Sunday?
I'm going
to
really try. It's only like $10. I'm not worried about the cost, but I'm really going to try because I'm looking forward to it because I haven't watched it in a while, and I really need to catch up again.
Yeah, I saw the recent show, and I like the promo that Kevin Steen and Jay Lethal have been doing. That's been great. Kevin Steen's
Are they finally going to wrestle?
Yeah, they're the main event.
Thank God. Oh, thank God. It's for the title too, right?
Yeah, because Lethal had to get permission from Steen to get that title shot because Steen's all saying, I made a bunch of provisions. If you don't buy them, I'm going to sue this company. And one of them was that Lethal never get a shot. Lethal then does, oh, you want to basically destroy ROH and all this stuff. But until meet me, you're nothing but a punk ass, you know.
Yeah.
And Steen just grabs the mic and goes, I accept, and walks off. But he's like this, I don't hate the company. I hate how Jim Cornette was running it.
Yeah, and it's cool, and I can understand that. I think the 11th anniversary is going to be great. If anyone wants to go there right now, it's ROHWrestling.com. Two more days. That's going to be. I think it's going to be a great pay per view. $15. Wow, you can even buy the DVD at the same time for another $10. So there you go.
If you go to the YouTube page, you can see a bunch of matches from the previous anniversary shows.
Yeah, I highly recommend last year's anniversary show between the tag team match between Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly against Adam Cole and Eddie Edwards. Very great, very good match, very dramatic match, and the promo that Kevin Steen came out and put out there was really good too. So definitely something to look forward to, but. I just think that with everything going on, I think ROH really has done a great job in putting together great matches. I'm really not a big fan of some guys on there. But they do a good job of making the matches really cool to watch and not going on the traditional PG kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Kevin Steen. He reminds me of DX.
You know what? I agree. At least Kevin Steen is controversial, whereas Aces and Eights are just attacking people.
All right, I got to end this call, but one more thing. Last week you had technical problems, and this week you don't. And
how crazy is that?
Coincidence?
Wow, dude. Wow.
All right, I'm going to end my call now.
Thank you, Anthony, for the call. We'll hear from you probably next week for sure. Line is open again. Once again, 408-293-0870. 408-293-0870. I can't believe that was good. Anyway, call, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, I'm Mav. It's L-Train.
L-Train, my man. What's going on?
Oh man, hey, I'm wondering, can you and I have an Andy Knowles moment for your intern for real quick?
You know what? He left, but I'm sure he's still listening, so go ahead.
All right. Lord, please help us spare the poor forgetful mind of this young intern who apparently for some reason believes that DX is the same as Aces and Eights. You know, because DX rode so many motorcycles around, they were a motorcycle gang. It's too bad we never had some sort of a faction called the Disciples of Apocalypse. Yeah, Lord, please forgive us for this transgression.
Please forgive us. I mean, oh, my God.
No offense. I mean, yo, I'm just poking a little fun, but I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And also, the little comment, at first I was going to get on him for the DX is sort of like the same as the Shield, and to a certain point, I could see what he was saying about them, you know, kind of like being, what was it, like, you know, renegade groups and all that, but the difference, though, is the fact that whereas the Shield, they're kind of renegade, but more in the strategic assault kind of strike force kind of way, like, you know, they have the strategies to, you know, take out their opponents. Yes, they were more the degenerates. They were pretty much, you know, the kid-like, you know, juvenile delinquent kind of stuff.
Yeah, they were less serious about going out there and attacking people than Aces and Eights are. And just the fact that he brought it up made me like really laugh. But I just think that with everything going on is. How would I say this? With aces and eights, yeah, it's repetitive, and there's no feeling behind it. Of course, no, you're not going to expect humor because they're not supposed to be funny, but just the fact that all they're doing is coming out and attacking people. I see the benefit to that, but I don't see the relevance. I don't see the reasoning behind just coming out and attacking people, which is what they've been doing.
Right, because, I mean, and also the fact, where is it going to go to? I mean, unless there's some kind of a thing with Bully Ray, who I agree, I don't see how the hell they made him the number one contender.
And I bet Bully Ray's like, what the hell are you doing putting me as a number one contender?
Right.
I mean, even he's sitting there like, are you kidding me? It's really stupid. I agree.
I mean, I don't know. I'm definitely going to be trying to call in tonight on TNA Chat Live with Bronx to try to give us a little scenario that he put out a few days ago about, you know, if you were like booking TNA and all that, what would you be doing? So I'll have more to say on that there, hopefully. As far as Raw, the brief little recaps that we've heard, I agree with a lot of people. I thought it was a great show this past Monday night. There were very few negative things there, but they were stuff that just stuck out because it's kind of like repeats of things we've had seen. Like, you brought up the whole Mark Henry, Khali thing. This is like the third time in, what, 3 or 4 weeks that we've seen them fight. I mean, not only...
At least on Raw, but it's like the eighth... It's probably more. I don't watch SmackDown normally because I never have the reasoning to ever watch Sci-Fi again after they killed off Eureka. But, I mean, I'm sure they've wrestled again on SmackDown, so it might be the eighth time, for all we know. For all I know, anyway.
Well, I know that was the first time they had the match, then they had a rematch the very next week on Raw, which is when Henry took out Hornswoggle, which was almost like a mercy killing. I mean, I was just like, jeez.
Yeah.
And then they just restarted it again on last week with the whole tease of a match, and then last Monday. And I was just like, I'm hoping this doesn't lead to Mania. With the way that Mark Henry has come back, I'm hoping he has something big going on at Mania, and I don't think Khali should be it.
I agree. It really shouldn't be that, because the fact that Khali was supposed to be big. He was the Punjabi giant.
What do you mean supposed to be? He is big.
He's big. Well, no, he's big, but see, he was supposed to be the Punjabi nightmare, the big, you know, guy to really, you know, set it off to be huge and Punjabi and all that stuff. But now with Mark Henry just destroying him every week, every time they're on the mat, what's the point? It's gone. The Punjabi nightmare became the Punjabi puss.
And very smart of you not to add a Y to the end of that.
Yeah. I agree. And it just doesn't work out anymore. And now, and I feel bad because he was trained out here. What happened to all the training that he had? It's gone, and I hate it. So yeah, I totally see the point. It just doesn't work out.
The other two things, luckily they're brief things, but Team Hell No. Now, the little bickering and stuff, you know, that hasn't grated on me quite as much yet, but the whole, it was comical seeing the whole thing with Daniel Bryan and Kane Monday night with the one hand tied behind in the blindfold, but at the same time, why did you need them to go over? What happened to the report that the Divas and the Tag Team Division were being rebuilt? You have... Literally, it's a handicap match because you take away one guy's sight, you take away the use of one guy's arm, and with one quick tag into Kane, they destroy the primetime players.
Yeah,
these guys, I thought they were, you know, high up with Vince. And no, I don't mean the kind of high like Jack Swagger. I mean like high up in regards to, you know.
That's another thing I forgot to mention during the news was the fact that Swagger got arrested for marijuana. Yeah.
Anyway. I know that one definitely hits a little close to home with you, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. But anyway, thank you, L Train, for that.
Wow,
that made me laugh from a good dark place. Wow. Thank you. We'll see you later.
Peace, man.
All right. Thanks for that, L Train. On the Skype line, we have Ashley. What's up? Oh, wait. Hold on. Hold on before you talk. Okay. You're on. Go ahead, Ashley. Oh. Now my internet is acting all funky. Let me try calling him back. But yeah, like I just don't think that the way Great Khali is, he should be really like into it, but just the way it goes. I don't know. Anyway, looks like Ashley, looks like we lost connection with Ashley, but, I don't know. I thought the Skype would work. So anyway, I think that'll do it for today. Yeah. About 2:30. So we could end it early. I mean, Crowley's not here, so I can't fill time. Lord knows. Oh, there he is now. Ashley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
Wow. So we go from DX and all that to Marriage of Iguanas. It's brilliant.
Wait, Marriage of Iguanas? What?
Yeah. That's what it's all about. That's why Swagger went high.
Right.
He got so high, he just saw two iguanas getting married. It's like,
dude, just, they're iguanas. Why are they getting married, man? Just, no way. Yeah, I can see that.
Why is Hulk Hogan the best man?
Why is Hulk Hogan there, man? Just, it doesn't make sense. It's like Hulk Hogan and what, are they going to be red and yellow flowers or something? I mean, here's what I'm pretty sure Sting was the one that put together the wedding. I mean, come on.
Flowers, excuse me, flowers. I just love flowers, Hulkster.
You know, you got to have flowers.
Bouquets of flowers, bouquets of them. All over the place. And of course, red and yellow roses, Hulkster, your colors.
So, like that, I mean, that whole thing could have worked out.
If only there was, like, the Westminster Dog Show for flower arranging. Sting would win.
Especially if they're going to be red and yellow flowers.
I'm going to do it in the form of my new t-shirt, only on shopna.com.
Exactly.
But, and if you've got issues about my name, why have you got US female gymnast called Sean?
True. Or, don't...
Blokes with women's names, take it up with the British wrestler Big Daddy. His real first name was Shirley.
Brass Eye puts in the chat, Mary J. Iguana. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mary J. Blige changed her name by Depol.
Yeah, hey, there you go. But definitely, I just thought, just the fact that, I feel bad for Swagger, man. Swagger, he's coming up on WrestleMania and he's celebrating the fact that he, made it to Mania. But see, he did it in a stupid way. See, I don't condone being any bit of inebriated and driving a vehicle. And I really don't. I mean, drinking and driving, hell no. Smoking and smoking out and driving, no. Just anything. It just doesn't work out. It's all bad at that point. But, I mean, the fact that he did it in, where was it, Mississippi, they said? Biloxi, Mississippi?
Yeah, I think so.
Just, did you have to do it in an anti-marijuana state? Couldn't you have waited until you got to Washington God, what was that other state? Colorado? Washington, Colorado? Couldn't you just waited? I mean, I'm pretty sure they probably went there pretty quick anyway, so that works. But, I don't know, man.
Lesson for all WWE superstars.
Wait until you get to, like...
To drive you.
Yeah, if you're gonna get arrested for pot, at least wait until you're in a pro-pot state. There's, like, 20 of them now. And... I mean, just wait. Just you know, be patient with your pot. That's the lesson for WWE. Apparently, Sabu and RVD never got that memo.
When did they ever get the memo?
Did they ever get memos?
The memo was a piece of marijuana and they smoked it.
They took a memo,
They rolled a joint with it and just smoked it.
Yeah. Can't hold me back, man. Dude.
Just, they're holding me back and they limited me to two words like cool and dude. But yeah, but Jack Swagger, I think he just made a mistake, you know, and he did everything he had to do. He paid the fine. He paid for bail. He apologized, I'm sure, a lot with Vince and Zeb and all that. And I just think that it was really interesting to see. Anthony Farley says in the chat, by the way, actually, wasn't Swagger pulled over as he was driving to my place? I'm in California, you jerk.
But he was going to California.
He was on his way.
He thought he was going for a party at Anthony's Church Bells place, yeah.
Yes. So, definitely.
It's like the Playboy Mansion down there, apparently.
Apparently, it is. I mean, hey. But nothing beats the real Playboy Mansion, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to mention?
Message to Glenn Beck. If you thought Jack Swagger was bad at being offensive to you, Crowley's going to be over there next week.
You know what? Hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to send Crowley to Glenn Beck Studios. That, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it. I'm going to have him bring a voice recorder. You could buy one for $10 at Radio Shack. Just go right over. Say, Glenn Beck, dude, come on. Are you real? Like, what's with you in wrestling? Come on. And just put it right
now
in his face.
What's the location? Eye in the sky, Chris Kelly.
Let's go to our drive time traffic copter 3 with Chris Kelly. Chris. And, yeah, you know what? Just, that whole thing with Glenn Beck. I hate when I hear people on TV, especially a-holes like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Colin Cowherd and all these other guys just trashing WWE for something WWE did. I like it because of the fact that they're talking about
it. You don't like America, why don't you get it?
It's the same message over and over again. And
you know what's wrong with America today?
What's that?
They canceled Seinfeld.
No!
That makes me a sad panda.
But I just the fact that they did that, they went into it, is just not right. Brassline says $10 is stretching the KJCC budget. You know what? For equipment, it might be. It might be. You never know.
Has anybody got a spare kidney for sale?
Yeah, really. Anyone have spare equipment that actually works around here? So
your kidneys don't work, Mav. That's brilliant.
Yes. But anyway, Ashley, thank you for brightening my day today. You can listen to Ashley on the whole indie show here on the SNS Radio Network. Is it live? No, it's podcast.
No, it's podcast.
When is your podcast uploaded?
Normally around Friday, Saturday time.
So stay tuned for that. The whole indie show with Ashley, with former RTR co-host Randy McWilliams. How's he doing, by the way?
I don't know. He hasn't been on for the last couple of weeks.
Really? I miss him. I really do. I miss him. I miss Mike. I miss...
Where's the music from Theme from Love Story?
Or the Incredible Hulk ending theme?
That's too sad.
It's just too much. Like, you know, I'm reminiscing about all my co-hosts, and I'm going to pull it up right now, actually. Oh, Incredible Hulk ending theme, not Incredible ending theme.
Crowley foaming for a lift, just on the edge.
Just standing down.
Somebody give me a ride to Orlando, please.
Just walking down to... Give me a random English city. Yorkshire? Or Edinburgh?
Manchester?
Just do... Just one of those things. And you just hear this song. Just see him down there. I miss him. I miss Randy. I miss Mike. And just something about those guys. Just made this show work. But, I mean, I don't mind Crowley being around here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not kicking him off the show. But, you know,
just... This music just reminds me of how this is so better than Brad Maddox and anything he's ever done in WWE.
Yes. It's something about Brad Maddox. You can see Brad Maddox doing that. And just getting kicked out. And you just hear that music playing.
Now I want every single death scene, like in the history of movies, to have that interspersed over the top of it.
Just all of a sudden... Have it be, give me, like, the ending to Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, Bane, just that.
Just him flying in.
Nobody gave me a lift.
And nobody gave me a lift, so I had to jump off this building. And, but all of a sudden you see the ending where Batman's in the Batwing and he carries that bomb out there. And all the sound goes out. It's like the, it's like the football stadium scene with Bane, you know, destroying the football stadium, where everything's going out. It's just the national anthem by the little English kid. By the way, why do they have an English kid singing the American national anthem? Doesn't that seem weird to you? I think it seems weird to me. I'm not saying I'm not against it, but it just seems weird to me. But anyway, but you see Batman in the Batwing carrying the bomb, and all of a sudden you hear. No sound, it's just doing that. Even when the explosion happens, it's just that song. And you just feel bad because it's him. And Ashley just got Skypey and Death Drop, so I'm gonna keep playing this song for him. I'm sorry! Anyway, we have another call.
Caller, hey, what's up, Brian?
Who's this?
This is Jason.
Jason J. Guillory. The official voice of the KJCC Jag Sports Network. What's going on?
Hanging out, man. I'm listening to your show. Sounding good.
Sounding good. Anything you want to contribute to the show? Any wrestling talk you want to contribute?
Well, I just want to say that I'm a big I'm a big Val Venus fan. And I want to see him come back.
Oh wow!
Hello, ladies.
I want to try and find the one he said in San Jose when he made a sex joke about being at the Shark Tank. Just the way he did it was epic. It was just really, so they call this the Shark Tank. And he said something like, well, I got the meat or something like that. It was hilarious. But
good show, though, man. I'm at work, man. I just want to call in and say what's up.
Oh, thank you. And just for you, Jason, I'm going to play this right now. Just for you. This is Jason Guillory's new theme song for KJCC. So
I'll
stay
talk
tuned
to you later.
All right, man. Thanks. Bye. That was Jason Guillory. By the way, your Lady Jags take on Santa Rosa away, so we're not going to be able to pick that up. But congratulations to the Lady Jags for advancing in the tournament playoffs. Anyway, Ashley, I thank you again for coming on the show. Everybody, please listen to the whole indie show this week. What are you going to talk about this week? Do you have anything planned?
We're going to talk a little women's wrestling. We're going to cover review of Shine and also this Friday's AIW show.
Nice. Are you also going to talk about female wrestling in terms of chick fight?
No, we're just going to talk about how apparently there seems to be trouble as well in another company, Twitter Wars.
Uh-oh.
On the sense of, you know, One Direction versus Justin Bieber.
Oh, wow.
Whether this one will actually result in death threats, I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens. All right, Ashley, thank you very much. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right, go.
All right, bye-bye. Great, great call from him. I'm so glad he called. Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. On behalf of Chris Kelly, who just decided not to be here today, I don't know why. I mean, he's such a big guy. Acer says in the chat room, by the way, KJCC, sponsored to you in part by Emotional Music. Sad, laughter, many more. Stay tuned. But yeah, anyway, definitely something to look forward to. And Brass, I responded to my thing on here, by the way. Why does an Englishman sing the U.S. National Anthem? A better question would be, why does Nickelback still exist? That's another good question. So anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, we're going to be talking more about... We're going to be talking about next week's Impact, for sure. We're going to be talking about more WWE Raw. Hopefully, we'll get an update on what Kalab said earlier about... I'll just call him Caleb because that's his name. About the whole thing with Hulk Hogan possibly making a return to WWE. Hopefully, if we hear anything soon, we'll mention that. And many more. Hopefully, Chris Kelly will be back if he ever remembers the fact that he does a show on Thursdays and he didn't tell me he was leaving. So, yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's going to do it for me. And we will see you later, everybody.
This has been a presentation of Running the Ropes, the official podcast of the Unchained Wrestling Network, and brought to you by the SNS Radio Network. The views expressed in this program are that of the panel and not of the networks or their affiliates.
If you don't like America, why don't you get out?
Thank the Gargoyles!